Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe is on the phone with an obscure restaurant fire reference, I believe. Yes, Joe, what's up?
Good morning, everybody. I love the show. Yes, obscure Seinfeld reference.
Yes.
I believe, Greg, you were like George Costanza, pushing old people and children out of the way to be the first one out the door.
Yes, birthday party.
Yes, that's correct.
Isn't that a bit antiquated, that whole women and children thing?
Another obscure reference on that is Titanic. And what's his name grabs the kid so that he could get
Billy Zane.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask your friend Billy Zane?
So he could get on the lifeboat first.
I'll never let go.
Grabs the random child so he can make his way onto the lifeboat.
Yeah. He might have been one of the best scoundrels in the history of cinema.
Jack could have fit on that raft.
This is Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I have another idea about the reason we're more upset with the Red Sox than the Patriots. And I wonder what you guys think of the idea that maybe it's because at least Major League Baseball is looking into the Astros, the Red Sox, maybe the Mets with Beltran, maybe the Yankees and the Dodgers, whereas it seems like the NFL is just always on the Patriots and always on the Patriots. So as a New Englander, I think I just feel a little more defensive about them since it feels like we're the single target.
I think that has something to do with it. I mean, so the question this morning from Ken during the lead is essentially, why do fans give Bill Belichick and the Patriots a pass, but they didn't do that with the Red Sox and Alex Cora? Is that a good way
to
paraphrase what your lead was this morning? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's because they've been the target of the commissioner, and it has been... in the case of Deflategate, it was ridiculous. And so maybe they feel that they need to defend their beloved Patriots.
But at the time of Spygate, Goodell had Kraft's back. I mean, he literally had people stomp on the tapes. Like, you should love Goodell for that.
And it's because Kraft helped elevate Goodell to that position. So that's why Goodell felt a bit awkward about possibly punishing Kraft and the Patriots too much. And the one thing I would like to point out is, much like with Brady, ever since they made sure that he was fully inflated and kept it to 12.5 and to 13.5, his stats have been the same, if not, actually, I would like to point out, better. And with the Patriots, how badly have they tanked, or what has their record been like since the whole Spygate fandango was either punished, disproven, or moved on from? They've been the same, if not better. Advantage did they get?
Here's a 781 text that says there is no evidence that Spygate impacted one play, never mind the outcome of a game.
Well, there's no evidence of anything because we didn't see the evidence. I mean, that's part of the point. But you had significant complaints from people all over the league. Players, coaches. You had a former assistant of the Patriots saying it got out of control. Matt Estrella was caught by the Packers. There were two teams that caught them in 06 that didn't complain. They complained, but nothing was done about it. I mean, it was a significant multi-year scandal with Ernie Adams at the helm.
I think that the biggest difference is that Bob Kraft saved the Patriots from leaving Boston, leaving New England, and John Henry's viewed as an outsider who's disconnected with the fan base. I mean, that's just excellent point.
I think that's an excellent point. A lot of it probably has to do with feelings that fans have about owners.
And yesterday, it was unbelievable to hear during the press conference, Sam Kennedy said, I know, do we have the sound? This is what Sam Kennedy said.
It was a mutual decision. I know corporations, companies sometimes put out these statements that we've mutually agreed to part ways and it might mean something different. In this case, it did not mean something different. Alex came to the conclusion that he could not effectively lead the organization.
So that is an example. I heard that. So everybody hears it's a mutual decision, and it's never a mutual decision. But this is the one case when that's actually occurring. Like, we don't treat your fans like they're dumb. You know, just say it couldn't manage anymore. We literally thanked him for his service to the team. We won a World Series with him. We don't believe our punishment is going to be as severe as the Astros.
They're up there acting like they did this merely because of what happened with the Astros.
I think they believe it. I think they really believe happened here. I think Cora and others sold them on. We were really that great. It's just Stephen Wright had an axe to grind, you know?
And you think that those guys standing up there yesterday think that nothing happened here in the case of cheating?
Why else would Henry say, or Tom Werner say reserve judgment? I mean, otherwise you're setting yourself up for unbelievable ridicule when the actual report comes out, right?
But yes. 5 minutes in, Tom Werner keeps saying Alex acknowledged what he did was wrong. Alex apologized.
In Houston.
And so the whole thing is that they're saying that this was blameless and bloodless here in Boston. Yeah. And if the hammer is supposed to fall on the Red Sox, what is the hammer falling for? Hiring a known cheater? No. I mean, you're not going to get punished for that.
It's mind-numbing how out of touch with their fan base they are.
And it's a serious problem. It really is. And Twitter skews younger. The reaction yesterday to that press conference was 90% negative. And these are fans that the Red Sox desperately need on their side.
Here's a text that says, the difference, Ken, is that the Patriots were allowed to film. They were just caught filming in the wrong location. The Red Sox were not allowed to be doing that, but they were allowed to steal signs. They just weren't allowed to use technology.
It's the same thing.
Is it the same thing, though?
Yes, it's the exact same thing.
It was the location. That's what everybody see. Now they're defending the wall. Everybody's texting in and saying the taping wasn't against the rules. It was the location of the taping when it came to the Patriots that was the violation.
Well, there was a report in that Van Natta piece that they were like sneaking up behind other coaches with Kraft Productions people and filming like from behind the opposing team's sidelines. I mean, locations, you just brush that off as it's insignificant. The locations meant they got the signals. They got great view of the signals.
Wearing vests that said NFL Films, spelled NFL FILLMS.
This is Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Quick shout out to LB.
Yes.
The difference here is the players. The Red Sox, your leader, has asked you to frolic in the mud and be part of this issue. But the Patriots, you magically get a better game plan. You might not ask where it came from. You're not part of it. So moving forwards, if your manager has asked you to be part of the issue, it's tough to move forwards. Where the Patriots, you can almost rally behind this guy who's willing to break rules for you.
I think maybe there's some truth to that. Like Fourier was saying that Brewski legitimately believes Belichick was great, and that's why they knew the opposing team's signals. Like they really didn't think there was anything mischievous going on. And maybe still don't. I don't know.
It's time to get the equipment truck on the way a little bit early from a distraction point of view.
Are you going to be able to clear your schedule if they move truck day? I know you love truck day.
Ooh, live broadcast truck day?
Yeah. Here, Mookie, 4 years, $500 million. whatever bright shiny object over here. And I don't think this is a championship issue either, because to say like, oh, the Pats have won more, so therefore the region gets behind them. Sure, 8 straight AFC championships and 6 Super Bowls will heal a lot of good, will heal a lot of bad that's done to the region. But the Sox have won 4 World Series in 14 years, so there's a lot of giant green wall defending that should take place for them as well.
Get that equipment truck on the way right now. Get
Could
it going.
Could you give us a look ahead to spring training and what to expect?
In terms of?
Just any differences from previous spring trainings.
Here's a text that says, I think the reason is that Bob Kraft is viewed as someone who would flip a burger for you. I don't think that's code. Or have a beer, take you down to the local spot and hang out. And John Henry is banned as the kind of guy who bans chewing tobacco and offers you a watercress salad. Is that the issue? or a Waldorf salad, maybe they meant.
I don't really see Bob Kraft taking you down to a place in Norwood for a beer either, but, you know, I get the distinction.
I can confirm that Dan Roach dropped off a watercress salad to John Henry before the press conference.
This is like,
that's a finger sandwich.
That's like the 2000 election question is like, you know, Al Gore was viewed as an elitist, whereas George Bush, who came from plenty of money himself, was viewed as someone people just wanted to have a beer with.
I think that might be more of what it is that you look at the two different ownership groups, mm-hmm. and the Krafts are from here. They're viewed as doing everything in their power, spending whatever it takes to bring championships here. And John Henry et al. Are not considered that way. But, right? I mean, don't.
I'll tell you, I think it's actually a little bit of a superstar issue, too, because with Tom Brady here, people will do or say anything for the Patriots. If Big Poppy was still on the Red Sox, I think people would defend them a little bit differently. There's a little bit of a likability issue with the Sox.
I don't disagree with that, but isn't it stunning to you that, I mean, the 04 Sox title seems the most precious of them all, doesn't it? Just
yes.
Based on the drought. And for some reason, it didn't translate to the ownership group. How did that not happen? Like, why did people not love John Henry for what he did? I don't quite
right,
understand
for reversing
it.
The curse.
Yeah, I mean, for everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It is amazing with that team. You look at Curt Schilling, who should never have been, you know, the quote, never buy a beer in this town again, but, like, he's with 38 studios and his political bent, he's totally disliked in this town. And then you have the ownership group that brought it here, and there's really no love lost for them.
Well, we have a poll up on the Twitter feed, and what is the exact wording of that poll, Curtis?
Which organization do you trust more, the Red Sox or the Patriots? And we are at 1,000 votes in, almost 80% Patriots over Red Sox.
Mm, amazing. Now, very important information, if I could for a moment. Science, Danielle.
Yes.
Has shared with us what you should wear to bed every single night if you would like to get lucky. More frequently than others. If you want to get the most sex, science says that you should sleep in the nude.
Nundies. Your birthday suit.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a poll done by a mattress company, and they actually found that people who slept without pajamas had higher self-confidence, which then led to them having more sex every week than their pajama-wearing counterparts.
Huh.
Interesting.
More
undies all the time. Yeah. I love when she don't wear no undies.
Doesn't wear no
undies. Okay. So you feel more comfortable in your own skin,
correct.
So to speak.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable being nude, so you're more. You have more confidence.
Uh-huh. You also don't have to fight your partner to get the pajamas off.
What's to say you don't feel comfortable or confident in yourself if you wear a good pair of pajamas with father's slippers and a bathrobe?
You strike me as a full-on dad pajamas guy.
Kind of love him.
Right.
And by the way, Dale is a fully admitted Tom Brady TB12 pajama wearer. So what does that say about Dale?
Oh, God.
Well, he's too busy doing Bruins games to worry about the other thing.
Oh, I've got that visual in my head. There's Pajama Dale.
Yeah, there's that, and there goes lunch.
Love you,
all
Joe.
Right. Well, good advice.
Does that mean we have to have sex?
Good advice from science.
Yes.
Don't wear anything to bed,
Nundies.
And you may get lucky more
correct.
Often. Let's see. Here's a text asking if we're going to talk about Wiggy being in episode 2 of the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix. And we did earlier, but we'll do that again because Nick's lead was about the Patriots looking better after watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary. So we'll get to that coming up right now. What is trending?
Mudded Night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Will Fitzy actually give Wiggy credit for his appearance?
As soon as Wiggy acknowledges the 15 specials I've done for NFL Network and NFL Films, yes.
Oh, wow. Who's counting?
Humble brag.
Well, the managerial search is on for the Red Sox. They had the press conference yesterday. Of all the, here's a little drop from Sam Kennedy, which I thought stood out among many.
We thanked him for what he has done for the club.
They thanked Alex Cora for what he's done to the
club.
Of
course they did. Yeah.
Did that really happen? I mean,
I don't know that anything that they said yesterday actually happened, and they expect you to believe it.
Jeez. Well,
yeah, Brick.
The team also made a minor trade. They sent Sam Travis to Texas and acquired Jeffrey Springs, so that's going to move the needle, I think. Bobby Pointer also DFA'd. You once rode in a cab with Bobby Pointer, did you not? Or on Uber or something?
No.
Are you telling me? Okay.
No, maybe somebody else.
Do you smell a fire at Davio's with Bobby Pointer?
I don't believe so.
Oh, no. I thought you told me that in the back.
No.
Ken, that was off air. Jeez.
Is that a secret?
Know your role.
Oh, jeez.
Ken, if I tell you something and I'm just randomly saying it to you, don't demand that I bring it up on the air because you get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Why? What's wrong with riding in a cab with Bobby Pointer?
I got these journalism, these journalism hardos that are all over me because you made me talk about my Tom Brady scoop.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is my fault. Celtics had a terrible loss last night. Dropped to the Pistons 116-103. They allowed Detroit to shoot 60%. Here's a little Brad Stevens.
What was the message inside the locker room? Were you surprised by this tonight?
No, the NBA doesn't surprise me. These teams are good. Derrick Rose was the best player on the court tonight. He was awesome, and has been the MVP of the league. Drummond was a handful in the paint. Every night's tough, and we say that all the time. And tonight, the better team tonight won.
Guess so. So 15 turnovers, they dropped that one. Bruins host the Penguins tonight. Will you be heading to the Garden for Bees and Sidney Crosby and the boys tonight?
I have an event to
go
to tonight.
Another event? Jesus.
Yes, but I it requires some thanks. So the Greg Hill Foundation, thanks to you, has donated its $3 millionth dollar. Am I saying that in the right way?
Mm-hmm.
So... without the incredible support of those who listened to the old show on WAAF, those who listened to this show on WEEI, there's no way that we would have reached this giving milestone. And those dollars came in most cases, in $25 mm-hmm. increments
yep.
and $40 increments.
It adds up.
And $10 increments. And so we're having a celebration of that giving milestone of $3 million given to local families. And there's no possible way that I could ever thank everybody, but it's an extraordinary thing. So to answer your question, no,
gotcha.
I will not be at the Bruins game.
Good
this
excuse.
Evening.
Did I see something on the invitation that said no cashmere coats
yes,
at the event?
Yes, yes. Please do not place your expensive coat on a candle at this evening's event.
Brett Ritchie placed on waivers, and Stephon Gilmore, Defensive Player of the Year by the Pro Football Writers of America. Fitzy, unbelievable season up until week 17. Ironically, that just the one blemish at the end from Devontae Parker, who torched him in that game.
I was going to say, please go ahead and forward that Defensive Player of the Year from Pro Football Writers to Devontae Parker.
It's the Greg E. Hill Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
I'm gonna miss about it. Just about everything. He was a tremendous manager for us, and on all levels. So we're going to miss him.
Yeah, we'll miss him personally. His passion, his energy, his sense of humor, the way he cared about the entire organization. He walked through the front office. He knew it was important to participate actively in the New England community. He knew it was important to give back to Caguas and all of Puerto Rico. He knew it was important to engage in Major League Baseball marketing initiatives. He knew it was important to win.
Wasn't important to read memos.
I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant.
Yesterday. Do they think that they're victims in all of this?
Sounds like it.
I mean, does Sam Kennedy think he's a victim? The guy was cheating. What is wrong with them? I mean, it's bizarre. Mm-hmm. You got the Voldemort or whatever. What are they?
I like to think that the rules do not apply to the Emperor of Foxborough.
And John Henry has his own newspaper for months demanding accountability and transparency from the Patriots regarding a stop at a spa in Jupiter. Meanwhile, his manager is executing one of the most elaborate cheating apparatuses in the history of Major League Baseball.
But they're the victims. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had this marvelous man who did so much for Puerto Rico, and now they've had to part ways with him mutually.
But don't you buy my rationale that they actually believe him, that he didn't cheat here? That's the way it's like conclusive after listening to that. They love Cora so much. They think he's telling the truth that it was just in Houston.
Okay, so I guess then we ought to suspend judgment until we hear from Major League Baseball, right? I mean, is that what they're asking us to do? Correct?
I spoke with the person who wrote the story, Evan Drellick, who exposed this entire thing, and asked him directly, is there any shot the Sox skate in this? He said, no chance.
No chance. This is Joel.
No chance.
Joel from Andover. Hello, Joel.
Hey, good morning, guys, and ladies.
Hello.
What's up? Quick question, quick statement and a quick question. So remember back, years back, when the MLB, the players went on strike, there was no World Series, that was it. The series just ended.
1994, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think that MLB or the Red Sox will vacate the 2018 championship, just say, you know, we didn't win this fairly, or whatever, whatever?
Well,
do you think that'll happen? I want to hear your guys' opinion on that.
The people of Los Angeles are filing legislation, essentially, mm-hmm. to demand that the title be given to them. This is like the the Saints, and we're now taking mm-hmm. a World Series title to the court system of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. They could have a parade out there if they strip it from us and they give it to them.
It's going to be like the Calipari removing of the Final Four banner inside of Amherst.
if you're an LA like politician, this is just great publicity, right? You are running to start this vote to curry favor with the hoi polloi.
Yeah, USC had to vacate a title years ago because of Pete Carroll's indiscretions and Reggie Bush, and now people are going to be demanding if the second you turn over one professional championship for what you allege to be a scandal, cheating, or not playing by the rules, then everything's going to be flipped, and we may as well just not even have championships anymore.
Hello, James.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, James?
Well, I just want to give an analogy. If you go to a bank, you rob a bank, and you hand a note, you're robbing a bank. If you go to a bank and you use a gun, again, you're going to get a bigger sentence, but it's still they're both against the law. So when somebody made a comment well, they were just videotaping. It was okay, but they were in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's the Patriots.
It's still wrong. They just didn't use the gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. The question that Ken brought up during his lead this morning at 6 is essentially, why do fans give Bill Belichick and the Patriots a pass for essentially doing the same thing that the Red Sox and Alex Cora have done, but they don't give Alex Cora and the Red Sox a pass.
Or
not even a pass. They don't call for the same punishment. They didn't want Bill Belichick fired. They did want Alex Cora fired.
Like, it's unanimous. Fans want Cora out, right? I mean, pretty much. I won't say like 100%, but it seems to be unanimous. I don't know in 07, Fitzy, what the sentiment was for Belichick, but what was it, like less than 5%? Nobody wanted him fired,
not
right?
Nobody called for Belichick's head back then. Like I said, everyone rallied around it. That's what first set the whole New England versus the world mentality into effect as well. And I'd like to just point out that what the Red Sox management did yesterday can blow up in their face so badly, because if they're saying that they don't believe that Alex did anything wrong, and MLB comes out to say, oh, not only did Alex do something wrong in Houston, but here's what he did while he was in Boston as well. That makes him look like a pathological liar and makes them look like complete boobs for buying into his rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. This is Kevin from Braintree. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, Greg?
What's up?
I just find it ironic that Alex Cora
skip the trip to the White House because the president was morally bankrupt.
Yes.
Kind of goes to show that, you know, what Alex Cora did is now tainted our World Series title. It's even worse.
Yes. We talked about that yesterday.
But how many times has Trump come up in the last couple of days? That's mm-hmm. also an interesting thing that people rush to the Trump thing. Wow, Cora loved Trump. Talk about a double standard.
It's a sanctimonious thing. I mean, the Red Sox really did bend over backwards for Cora to use that as a platform to voice his displeasure with the current administration.
Well, because they agree with him politically.
Right, but they also were very nervous about their judgment. They actually went, and you credit the Red Sox ownership for going there. I mean, a lot of teams haven't done that, but Cora in that moment, I think, was a part of the reason why the Red Sox started so poorly this year.
This is Dave from New Bedford. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today?
What's going on?
So, you know, one of the things that I think everybody's going to look at is the Globe. Shaughnessy's hated, you know, and he constantly rips the Patriots in the Globe.
Mm-hmm.
The Globe is affiliated with Henry, and they keep taking their shots at Brady. They keep taking their shots at Kraft, and everybody just associates the Globe with John Henry and the Red Sox, and it's almost like, karma's calling, bitch. You got to answer now.
Well, I think that there's something to that. I think that fans, the Patriots fans, are like, you know, everybody hates us.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's the Globe or it's the commissioner or it's the rest of the – everybody's out to get us.
Right.
I don't think they feel that way about the Red Sox. So
the thing is when they come out with their press conferences, you know, you look back at the Aaron Hernandez, you know, I know that's the big trending thing right now because of Netflix. But remember Belichick's press conference was really, really good. When he had to step in front of the mic after the Aaron Hernandez thing, and he explained, you know, he gave you more information than you ever would expect from Bill Belichick.
I forgot.
The Red Sox would never do that.
No, they wouldn't do that. I forgot about a lot of that until it's in episode one, I believe, of the Hernandez Netflix documentary. And I forgot how great that was. They play a lot of it in episode one. There's a lot of it in there.
There is.
And your lead this morning, Nick, was that the Patriots look better now that you've watched most of that documentary.
Yeah, nobody looks good coming out of Killer Inside. However, the way that the national media and Patriots haters came down on the organization for harboring such a criminal and typical Patriots behavior to draft somebody like that who's more a morally bankrupt team should obviously have a morally bankrupt killer on the team. But it makes no sense at all because you watch this and you see that this guy could have duped anybody. Every single photo, he's such a good-looking guy. And that kid, that smile and the charm, and everyone just thought he was affectionate and loving, and he was good. They portray him as a fun-loving, goofy kid. And
magnetic.
Dare I say magnetic? I know, right?
Dare.
And then you come to learn that, you know, his home life is so disturbing. And then that he's harboring his homosexuality and carrying on potentially multiple relationships the whole while long. Like, there was just so much bubbling beneath the surface. And then once his dad dies, he just breaks bad.
But don't.
And they masked it. He hid the SUV in a safe house for years.
But it's not, in my opinion, it shows how your life oftentimes is dictated by the parents that you end up with.
Right.
And it's not only did his dad die, you know, during a hernia operation that should have been a normal, you know, everyday procedure, but then his mom goes out and essentially hooks up with the husband of his aunt or
That's
cousin.
Right.
Tanya's his aunt.
Cousin aunt.
Cousin aunt. Cousin?
Careful not to make a portmanteau of those two words.
Yes.
Cousin, aunt, depends on the state you're in.
West Virginia, forget it.
But and moves the dude into their home, and when you hear that conversation from the prison, where he's talking to the mom, and then the mom says that she might not be able to make it up there for the trial. She'll be there for the beginning, but it's a long drive, and it's like, you know what? Listen. He's a murderer. He was a murderer, so I'm not forgiving anything. But you're also a horrible person.
Right. And they ended up tainting him and misguiding him to a degree. And it seems like he was highly impressionable. It seems like that Aaron Hernandez.
Well, he wasn't that smart, I don't think. I mean, he's a great athlete, not necessarily, but
no,
he's like childlike. He's
not a dummy. Childlike is the thing. I don't think he was a dummy, but I think he was very infantile in a lot of ways and highly impressionable and sad and took out the sadness in forms of hyper aggression just to sort of like, doesn't this happen a lot where people, you say somebody is something like, no, I'm not, and I'll fight you over it. And it turns out you learn later on, yes, you were the whole time.
This is that phone call with the mom.
You made decisions that that are the worst. I don't put you down, and you f***ed my whole life up.
Oh, you don't put me down, but I f***ed your whole life up. I ain't living with that.
You did. It is, but I forgave you, and it's over with. Yes, you did. I was the happiest little kid in the world, and you f***ed me up. And I just lost my father, and I had to go to college, and I had nobody. What the f*** did you think I was going to do? Become a perfect angel? Oh, my God. If I was with you right now, I would have probably punched the shit out of you. Like, I don't even know why you bring me to this level.
Mm. And I think this is what you meant, but everybody's correcting you. The murder vehicle was at the cousin's house,
yes.
not the safe house.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah. The murder vehicle was hidden, harbored at the cousin's house for over a year's time. Did anyone ever think, once we found out that he was implicated or directly involved in the murder of Odin Lloyd, that we would come to learn years later that he was responsible for two more murders?
And then went on to play a full season.
With a $40 million contract and the trust of Robert Kraft. How did they feel? There's a little Brady interview in the first episode, and he's a little glassy-eyed about it. And then Tebow is very, you know, deflective. And he was his teammate. And apparently Tebow was the one who Urban Meyer had charged with keeping him out of trouble when he was at school. And so everybody knew something. Why was everyone afraid to come forward in the first place and say, I mean, this talent dropped to a fourth round for a reason, but why was everyone afraid to say, you know what, stay away from this kid?
Well, you just said it. He dropped in the draft. Like, to pretend that he was so charming, the Patriots were duped. I mean, come on. Urban Meyer knew that this was a bad guy, and the Patriots knew full well they were taking a chance on him. He was a character risk, right?
Yeah, but character risk is one thing. Triple homicide?
I don't want to spoil the Netflix documentary, but the mom, one of the worst parts is when she's asking for something from him, of a cash nature.
Yes.
Oh. It's just, and this texter is correct that we're not excusing. I don't think any of us who watched it are excusing the sociopathic nature of what he was. I mean,
the guy's
a sociopath, absolute sociopath. But I was going into it thinking that it would be just like every other Aaron Hernandez thing, which we've seen, and it's not. The producers are the same people who did Making a Murderer, and they did a fantastic job. At least I'm about halfway through it. So, all right, we're going to get to the news coming up, and we will find out what a man woke up to find his angry wife had placed him in.
Oh.
That is coming up next on The Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now it's the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI. It's
It's time for...
Good morning.
The News.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Fake news.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Well, the video and the subsequent audio of the dust-up between our chronically absent senior senator Elizabeth Warren. I feel like I need to parse that. and Bernie Sanders' post-debate has been released. And, we discussed this briefly yesterday where... Elizabeth Warren had talked about Bernie calling her a liar, and thanks to CNN, we now have this audio.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me a liar. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
That is my favorite.
That's what's his name.
Yeah, Tom Steyer. Oh, my God.
Steyer.
Get him out of there. Did you ban Tom Steyer already?
Yeah, good.
She's out there calling people liars every day, every time she has run for office. Is this her first race? What?
I know.
If I were Bernie, I would have said, I'm sorry, you are a Navajo Indian.
Yeah, good.
I mean,
this is painful.
I mean, are you kidding me? It's a debate.
Are you surprised? Are you at all surprised?
What? Surprised that she's thinks she's better than everybody else and that nobody can say anything about her, but she can say whatever she wants to everybody?
I'm not shaking your hand. F sportsmanship.
Somebody asked what a Fitzy versus Laird fight would look like. I think that's pretty much it.
We're not doing this now, all right? We're not doing this now, Laird.
Upstairs, Joe would play the role of Tom Steyer coming in just to say hi.
Hi, I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, good.
Can I get a selfie, Fitzy?
Yeah, good. boy. I'll tell you what, I don't think, thankfully, maybe we need her here in the state. I guess
we've been doing okay since she announced her presidential run.
I don't think she's going to be the next president of the United States. I don't.
Yeah, no. Good.
I don't think she's ready. What else?
Some sad news about longtime Boston institution. The Top of the Hub restaurant is closing, as is the Prudential Skywalk. And to everyone on social media who's complaining about this, I'm going to hearken back to the story of the local pizza shop that closes and everyone complains, when was the last time you went to Top of the Hub? Because everyone's like, I can't believe Top of the Hub is closing. Oh, when was the last time you went there, Sharon? Oh, 1986. Well, if you don't want a business to close, you have to support it.
How long has it been in business?
Countless
people probably were proposed to there.
Yes.
Had anniversary and birthday dinners there.
Broke up there. Those are the fun ones. The breakup fights. It was supposed to be a proposal.
Restaurant.
You ruined this night. This is your fault.
I went to the Top of the Hub. I went to the Top of the Hub once with seven other people, and we were standing by the bar. And when we got our bill, we had to pay the extra gratuity 20% tax for standing.
A party of six next to the bar.
We were standing next to the bar having drinks. And they charged us the automatic gratuity.
I mean, John Curtis had to pay the extra 20%.
Times were tough back then.
Yes, they were. So Top of the Hub is scheduled to close April 18th. People have already been calling up to make reservations. And if you have a gift card, you might want to use it very soon. Irrational fear in the news out of the Ukraine. Man wakes up to find his wife had locked him in a chastity belt.
Oh, what did he do?
She was suspecting that he might have been engaging in some inappropriate things. I guess he had had a couple of affairs previously, and she thought this was the only way to stop him. And of course, you can't get a chastity belt off on your own. So he had to go to the hospital, but the doctors couldn't remove it either. They wound up bringing in an emergency crew who, junk warning gentlemen, had to use a circular saw to slice it off. Luckily, the man was not injured, and it looks like despite the time he spent in the chastity belt, he's going to get back full use of his junk and says he's considering a divorce, which maybe he should have considered before he had affairs. I don't want to Get into your business.
Everyone should be clutching at their nethers when they hear this. Hey, easy.
Could you do me a favor, please? When cutting off chastity belt, make sure you don't harm the... Actually, take the manhood, too, because he's not a good person.
Ukrainia.
The Republic of Ukraine. Excuse me. Yes.
You get locked in a chastity belt, honestly. Where does one go about getting a chastity belt? Is this the 1500s?
Amazon.
For real? Okay, yeah. Amazon, you're right.
Google it, as LB would say. A 39-year-old guy in Virginia had a little case of Taco Bell rage. His name is Octavius Hodge, and he went into a Taco Bell in Falmouth, Virginia on Monday. Tried to order off the dollar menu, but Octavius had only 70 cents on his person. So one of the employees felt bad and tried to do something nice and gave him a free taco. Not bad, right? And they didn't get a free taco. It was a pretty good day. Now, this guy was mad that it wasn't the kind of taco he wanted. So he unwrapped it and saw it was a different kind of taco. And he's like, I don't like that. So he pulls a knife on the staff because that's the reasonable response to do, and even lunged at a few employees. He took off running. A police canine caught him in a field nearby. And he has subsequently been charged with attempted malicious wounding, disorderly conduct, assault, and obstruction of justice. And I think they should add a charge for wasteful taco distribution.
I would never say no to a free anything. when it comes to tacos or elsewise.
I prefer hard over soft. But I'm not a soft. I don't like soft tacos.
Danielle. Stop it. I'm the complete opposite.
Played right into it.
I don't like the hard ones.
That's because you have a sensitive mouth. Well, I'm shocked you can even eat peanut butter Captain Crunch love so much. You're like, taco shell is, this fried tortilla is too hard. It scrapes the roof of my mouth.
Hard is for nachos. Soft is for tacos.
No, not my favorite thing.
No.
Not my favorite thing.
All set with eating that little limp thing full of meat. Police in California say that a sex offender mooned some residents in Fairfield through a doggy door. And it reportedly tried to also get inside the home through the doggy door. This happened late last week. The couple has lived in their home for 20 years. They said they always felt safe there until this guy shows up. He's been identified as Leroy Vance. Curtis, no relation to Bob Vance. 48 years old. Vance Refrigeration. The homeowner, who is 83 years old, his name's Fred Farrell, was tinkering in his garage when the intruder, or the would-be intruder, approached the house. His wife was at home with her caregiver, and the guy tried to force his way in. Luckily, he has been caught after this incident, but we have some fantastic audio from Fred.
He dropped his drawers and mooned her, and was trying to get her outside. He's a sex offender. Somebody come in and drop their drawers and do what he did. They want him off the streets. He ought to be put in prison.
That's two drop your drawers if you're playing along with our at-home drinking
at
game.
Home.
Yes. this is a wild story. Let's head south.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Have you seen any of the video or the reports of the woman walking through the baggage claim area at Miami Airport nude?
No.
This woman starts walking around and starts taking her clothes off in the baggage claim area. And instead of trying to help her or grab a security person or perhaps a police officer, everyone just started whipping out their cell phones and videotaping the woman, because that's what we do in 2020. She then exited the baggage claim area, walked outside the airport and climbed on top of a police car, jumps into traffic, runs over to another police officer who luckily took her into custody. Now they're doing a mental health evaluation.
She had to be on something.
She had to have been on something. Something was definitely going on there. But now critics are saying that it was really insensitive that all these people were videotaping the woman and not realizing that she was in distress. Tay Credit was a passenger traveling through Miami Airport.
Is the fact that of all these people who saw her, no one stepped in to help.
I would never expect to see something like that. That would probably make me bust down, and I want to help.
I would definitely.
That's the only thing that did confuse me was no one tried to help
or cover up.
Women especially.
Florida, man. You see it all. Let's see here. School year back in swing for the spring semester, so I'm guessing we're probably going to see one of these maybe every week.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
A married high school volleyball coach has been charged with rape after police say she engaged in a three-way with a teen boy and a fellow adult former teacher.
These teachers are getting so much action.
So horned up.
Doesn't it make you feel bad about your
own life?
Ken, doesn't it make you feel bad about your own sex life?
Plead the fifth on that one.
Oh, great. Now everyone driving to work is like, let me just think about Ken doing it. Oh.
What's wrong with that?
What do you mean, what's wrong with that?
Very pliable.
He's pliable.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
geez. He has to wear a beanie because of the circulation issue because he's bald. So it requires, he's got to wear socks and a beanie. Is what.
Joyce Churchwell's her name. She's 40 years old.
40?
40 years old.
What is going on with these teachers?
I don't know. I was in Tulsa County, Oklahoma. I'm not sure if I said that yet, but she started communicating with the student who was 18 at the time, but I believe Oklahoma is one of those states that has the person in a position of authority rules, so you can't sleep with the students. And she was sending nudes, photos and videos of herself on the Snapchat, as well as nudes of the other woman, and reached out to the student and said, hey, we're at my house and my husband's out of town. Why don't you come over and hang out with me and the other, whatever the other teacher's name was. School resource officers received a tip last month about the case. They did interview the student as well as the teacher, and now she is on a leave of absence from the school, and they have to further the investigation. The school district issued a statement saying that we take the safety of our students very seriously, and of course we'll do everything to provide a safe environment in the future.
They should take all these teachers and put them in one school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the students can be, it could be like secondary education, like the students are all over 18.
Yeah, you can sign
a
waiver.
Yeah, and then like you sign a waiver and then you do whatever you want with the students.
Yeah, just keep them out of the regular school system, right. Please. My God, what is wrong with you people?
That's the most Oklahoma story I have ever heard.
Hey, Lucille.
Yes, Gator?
Why don't we spice things up tonight? Tell that boy to come on by later on and we'll have a party.
All right, Danielle. Thank you.
You're welcome.
617-779-7937 would be the number to call if you'd like to be on this morning, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. When we come back, I think we need to talk about your lead this morning at the start of the show at 6, which is a certain class which is going to be mandated in schools in California.
Yes.
And we'll figure out what the prevailing opinion on that is coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.